Good morning. It's April 10th, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. In a landmark decision that reverberates through the heart of the ongoing national debate on reproductive rights, the Arizona Supreme Court has reinstated a law from 1864, effectively banning nearly all abortions in the state, with starkly no exceptions for cases of rape or incest. This ruling aligns with a broader national shift following the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, which has opened the door for states to impose such restrictive measures. The 19th-century law, now back in force, has sparked a wave of political controversy and concern over women's reproductive rights. Despite the law's severe implications, Arizona's Democratic Attorney General has made it clear that she will not prosecute anyone under what she refers to as this draconian law. In the interim, Planned Parenthood Arizona has announced it will continue to provide abortion services for a limited time under a protective 2022 state court order. The decision has not only drawn criticism from President Biden and Vice President Harris, who have both condemned the ruling for its regressive nature, but it has also surprisingly unified candidates from both major political parties in Arizona's Senate race in opposition to the ruling. Furthermore, in a proactive response to safeguard abortion access, advocates in Arizona have successfully gathered enough signatures to propose a constitutional amendment on the November ballot. This pivotal ruling is a significant blow to abortion rights in the United States, coming on the heels of a similar decision in Florida. It underscores the intensifying national debate over abortion, potentially shaping the political landscape as we approach the 2024 elections. With abortion accessible through 15 weeks for now, due to a separate lawsuit, the future of reproductive rights in Arizona, and indeed across the nation, hangs in a delicate balance. In a landmark decision on April 9, 2024, Jennifer and James Crumbly found themselves facing 10 to 15 years behind bars for involuntary manslaughter, a direct fallout from their son Ethan's tragic actions at a Michigan high school. This sentencing not only marks a pivotal moment in legal history, but also opens a new chapter in the discourse on parental accountability. The courtroom was charged with emotion as families of the victims shared their grief and outrage, some urging the court to impose the harshest possible sentence. Amidst this, the Crumblies took the stand, voicing their regret over the incident. Notably, Jennifer Crumbly's remarks included a shift of some blame towards school officials, adding a layer of complexity to the already tense atmosphere. At the heart of the sentencing was the judge's assertion that the Crumblies' failure was not rooted in poor parenting, but in a glaring disregard for numerous red flags leading up to the tragedy. This distinction underscored the gravity of their negligence. With the possibility of parole after a decade, the sentence also leaves room for an extended term for James Crumbly, should his alleged threats in jail be factored in. This case has not only devastated families, but has also reignited debates on how far parental responsibility extends, especially in matters as severe as school shootings. The Crumblies' conviction for their role in their son's actions is unprecedented and signals a potential shift in how the legal system addresses such incidents. As the community grapples with this outcome, calls for legal reform and a reevaluation of governmental immunity laws are growing louder, reflecting a society in search of justice and preventative measures. As this story continues to unfold, it's clear that its implications reach far beyond the courtroom, challenging societal norms and legal precedents on parental liability. Stay tuned as we follow this developing story, one that may very well reshape conversations and laws regarding parental responsibilities and the safety of our schools. In a move that has stirred significant discussion within the Republican Party, former President Donald Trump has recently voiced his support for individual states' rights to decide on abortion laws. This stance has not only drawn a line in the sand among Republicans, but has also ignited a debate that could shape the party's future, especially as the presidential election looms on the horizon. Trump's position, advocating for state-level decision-making on abortion, contrasts sharply with the views of some key conservative figures within the party. Notably, Senator Lindsey Graham and Trump's former Vice President Mike Pence have expressed their opposition, favoring instead a national ban on abortions after 15 weeks. This divergence of opinions within the party's ranks has underscored the complexity of the abortion issue among Republicans. Amidst this backdrop, several Republican Senate candidates from pivotal states have aligned with Trump's viewpoint. Kari Lake of Arizona, Sam Brown of Nevada, Bernie Moreno of Ohio, Tim Sheehy of Montana, and David McCormick of Pennsylvania have all voiced support for the idea that abortion policies should be primarily a matter of state jurisdiction, albeit with reasonable exceptions. Their backing of Trump's stance highlights a significant faction within the party that sees value in localizing the abortion debate. Trump has warned that this internal disagreement could have detrimental effects on the Republican Party's performance in the upcoming presidential election. The abortion debate, thus, is not just a matter of policy, but has become a strategic consideration that could influence the party's standing in key swing states such as Arizona, Nevada, Ohio, and Montana. Pennsylvania, where one of the Senate candidates supporting Trump's position is running, is particularly noteworthy as it leans Democratic for the year 2024 election. The unfolding dynamics around the abortion debate within the Republican Party underscore the potential for significant political shifts. As the party grapples with these internal divisions, the impact on voter alignment in critical swing states remains a key point of watch. The stance on abortion rights is shaping up to be a pivotal issue, with the potential to influence the party's future direction and its prospects in the upcoming election. In a groundbreaking moment for women's sports, the South Carolina women's basketball team clinched their third national title, defeating the Iowa Hawkeyes in a championship game that captivated over 18.9 million viewers. This historic event not only celebrated South Carolina's victory, but also marked a pivotal shift in viewership trends as the women's final surpassed the men's final in ratings for the first time ever. The significance of this game extends beyond the victory itself. It became the second most watched non-Olympic women's sporting event on U.S. television, with the audience peaking at an astonishing 24.1 million during the final 15 minutes. This represents a 90% increase over last year's viewership and a staggering 289% surge from the viewership of South Carolina's title 2 years ago. The numbers reflect a growing appreciation and recognition of the quality of women's sports. The financial landscape of women's sports is also shifting. Despite the existing disparities between the WNBA and NBA, revenue from women's elite sports is projected to exceed $1 billion by 2024, indicating a potential 300% increase from 3 years prior. This growth is supported by enhanced exposure on network television, with major networks broadcasting a greater number of women's games and tournaments than ever before. As the women's game continues to draw large audiences, questions arise about its future post-stars like Caitlin Clark, who is moving on to the WNBA. However, the optimism remains high for the continued growth of women's college basketball, fueled by emerging young talent and increased visibility. The historic viewership of the championship game, coupled with the growing financial potential and exposure of women's sports, underscores a significant moment of recognition and appreciation for women's athletics, setting the stage for a future where it could potentially rival the popularity of men's basketball. In the wake of the total solar eclipse on April 8, 2024, an alarming trend has emerged, sparking concerns among health professionals and the public alike. Millions of Americans are now being cautioned about the risks of potential eye damage, a situation underscored by a surge in Google searches for "eyes hurt" in the eclipse's aftermath. The phenomenon, captivating as it was, appears to have led some individuals to disregard safety advice, looking directly at the sun without the necessary solar filters. This act of negligence can result in severe consequences, ranging from instant or gradual blindness to significant retinal damage. The importance of using proper eye protection during such celestial events cannot be overstated, with experts consistently emphasizing the need for solar filters to safeguard one's vision. The increase in searches not only signals a lack of adherence to safety guidelines, but also suggests that many are now experiencing discomfort, including eye strain and headaches attributed to prolonged exposure without adequate protection. Symptoms indicative of permanent damage, such as blurry vision, the presence of a blind spot, or altered color perception, are expected to manifest within a time frame of 4 to 6 hours to several days following the eclipse. For those noticing any signs of eye distress, the advice is clear. Seeking the expertise of an ophthalmologist for an immediate evaluation is crucial. This situation serves as a stark reminder of the risks associated with direct solar observation without proper precautions, highlighting the need for public education on eye safety during solar events. This has been your daily brief in U.S. News. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.